Welcome to Tune In to the World of Animation, the weekly podcast that brings you interviews with experts from all aspects of the world of animation. I'm your host, T. Basusto, ready to sit back, relax, and tune in to the world of animation. And our guest today is Kathy Carroll, who, as I said last week, has worked in nearly every aspect of animation production, as well as producing her own animated shorts and teaching animation. So, Kathy, what was it, out of all these things that you've done, that first attracted you to animation?
I always loved animation, always. Just as soon as I saw it, I was addicted. I couldn't see it enough.
So it was the aesthetic visuals that got you?
Yeah, well, I was a kid, so all children love animation, but I watched it because I wanted to make it. I wanted to do that. And it never confused me either. Every time I looked at it, it's like I understood how it was done. And
really?
Yeah, I had no confusion about it either.
And how old were you?
Well, I was always artistic. You know, I was drawing right away. You know, as soon as I could put a crayon in my hand, you know,
wow.
It was never down. That was my favorite thing to do. And I probably, you know, as a little kid, made little flip books all the time.
Really? You made flip books?
Yeah,
as
I was
a kid?
Always making little flip books. If I had a stack, poor school, the little arithmetic books we'd get, and always all the corners of my books had animation so I could flip the book and look at it move.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
As soon as a little handout came in class,
Where did you grow up?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. So you were right in one of the hubs.
Yeah. Even at 10, I was selected to go to Chouinard as a gifted artist talent in the city of L.A. They had a program. And I'm so sorry, my parents couldn't send me. It was just too far from our home. But I'm sure I would have studied with the great teachers that were there at the time, the Disney animators.
Well, talking about great teachers, just before you arrived, Ed, our audio engineer, and I were talking, and Ed studied under Don Graham, one of the great
amazing
teachers there, maybe the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
And I will read you a quote that Ed told me, that Don Graham told them in his class, which I think is terrific, and you as a teacher as well, I think, will appreciate this. Apparently, Don Graham said, "The sooner you make your first 1,000 mistakes, the sooner you'll be past them."
That's very good.
Anyway, but your teacher is toward the end of your career, so why don't you start? I think you said your first studying of animation was at University of Santa Barbara.
Yes, they didn't have an animation program at the college. I was a fine arts student, and my emphasis was in printmaking. But on my own, I would experiment with animation, and my teachers, you know, loved what I was doing as just an artist and with the animation experimenting. And at my home, I set up I think it was 8mm or 16, I think it was 8mm at home. And I shot some films and I made them on cell. And I just learned everything out of animation books. And also there was an audio visual department, not a film program yet. And that man that ran the department would let me come in, and I was painting on film directly on clear leader the way that Norman McLaren did, but I didn't know about Norman McLaren yet. But I was doing my own thing, and then making recordings and then editing. He taught me how to edit and how to hot splice, and so I made some little film projects before I graduated, besides my art projects too.
So you were learning every aspect of the business very early on.
Yeah, that was great. I always knew about splicing and editing before I got started. Yes.
And I think you told me when you first started at DeBatty Freeling and Joe Siracusa introduced you to the business.
Yeah, I had my first day there. I was in ink and paint because at that time in the early 70s, there was one woman working drawing in the studio. She was an assistant animator, and it was all men, and women were ink and paint. And as I was so happy to get a job, it really didn't matter, but they put me in ink and paint, And that was fascinating, too, to learn that. And I got very good. And I've always painted my own film, so that little episode was actually good for me. But on the first break, the very first day, I met Joe Siracusa, and he just thought I was great right away and made sure I came in on the next break to come in and see what he was doing in editing. And he showed me how he would tap out a film right on the moviola with his grease pencil. And he was a great drummer, so he could tap those beats and catch those moments. So I really learned. And then he let me... We went in, I recorded myself. I don't know how we did this, but he got me to record. I play harmonica, and I played the harmonica. And then he let me go in and read my track, and then I was going to make a film to that track. But then at the studio, they saw that I was going in there on the breaks, and they made a rule. They didn't like that. They said, you can only go where you work. You had to stay in your department. So,
wow.
Yeah, they weren't very nice.
Wow.
But eventually, I got out of my department in campaign.
Well, one of the things that Joe told me last week is that he started at UPA. And at UPA, you could go anywhere you wanted to.
Yeah.
In fact, they encourage you to commingle, to share ideas.
Well, that's probably why he was pulling me right in to show me what he was doing.
Yeah.
But eventually, all the different wonderful talents there, on the breaks, they got to know me. And
I see.
They all thought I was wonderful. I mean, I was... Within 3 months, I was trying out animation, and then Joe said I could come do editing, and the designer guys, layout, they were all saying I was good. And then in the meantime, Corny Cole came in to do a TV special,
right.
And I met him as well. All of it was happening at the same time, and then Corny really needed some more help on his special, and I showed him my work. And he just came in. I was sitting in ink and paint, and he just came walking in right in the middle of when I'm painting the cells and said, come here, you know.
Right.
Pulled me out, which was like, they're going, where are you taking her? You know. But he was a director, so he could pull me out. And he said he loved my work, and he wanted me to work on his TV special, which was the Flip Wilson TV special, the second one he was doing there. He had done one the year before.
Uh-huh.
And then the next week, I started in with Corny, and I was storyboarding. I was painting backgrounds. I ended up color keying the film when I finished the backgrounds and doing extra artwork. We had like montage sequence, and I just did straight artwork for that. And then I became kind of like an assistant director. When he wasn't around, I would answer all the questions because he used to come in later in the day, and I was there since crack of dawn and just help with ink and paint or the cameraman if they were a little confused.
I only met him very briefly, and he just seemed like a very easy person to work with. Is that true?
Well, yes and no.
Oh, yes.
I mean, for me, it was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
But I think some other people have a hard time with his style.
And why do you think that is?
Well, he does things the other way around, let's say. Kind of backwards. And it kind of
he was a very talented guy.
Oh, incredible. I mean, Friz Freleng is the one that I'm sure loved him so much and his work and had him there.
Yeah.
You know, and they won awards with these specials. They really did do well.
Yeah. What were they called?
Well, it was Flip Wilson, and there were different titles. Corny directed two of them there. We had two specials. And then Flip Wilson, his popularity he wasn't on the air anymore.
Right.
So I think that's why they just didn't keep going.
So you went and worked at Corny's studio then?
I went from, had a wonderful year at Patty Freleng, and then went over to Corny's studio in Santa Monica on Main Street, and down the hall was Duck Soup Productions. And they had already heard about me, and we all went to lunch. Dwayne Crowther was one of the owners, and Corny and I, we were going to lunch, and then Dwayne said he had some work, assistant animation, and his partner Roger, and would I like to come work over there? Corny didn't have anything for me like that week, so I went and worked for them, and they were very busy, and that worked out great. Dwayne said I was fantastic, and Roger loved my work, and Dwayne and I started dating. You're smiling at me because we did marry down the line.
That's
but
right.
Not at first. He was taking me to lunch.
Yeah.
And I started working there. It was just perfect. I was doing tons of assistant animation in the beginning, assisting Dwayne, which was, I love Dwayne's drawing and his animation, and I love the energy. And then he had me assist everybody who came in. Great Disney animators. Eventually on staff, Ambi Palawoda was in the studio all the time, and I was his assistant. Mm-hmm. I assisted Freddie Helmick. Even Grim Natwick did. Dwayne and Grim were very dear friends. And one time, Dwayne said, "Oh, Grim, why don't you do one of our, you know, commercials?"
Grim Natwick, to me, seems like one of the great ones. Maybe greater than the Nine Old Men. I know.
And Dwayne and he were so close.
Yeah.
They worked together at UPA in New York when they set up the commercials.
I think that's,
they've been very old friends from the early 50s.
Did you ever meet Grim Natwick?
Oh, he'd come every week. I had lunch with Grim.
Wow.
Dwayne, it was like Dwayne's father, you know, kind of. And we went every week. We took him to lunch. And we would have parties at the studio and show films. And when we went to lunch, usually, you know, many of the other animators would want to come and talk to Grim.
Yes.
So it was always a big lunch.
Yeah.
We'd go for Chinese food.
He lived a long life, as I recall.
He made it to 100, and he was fine straight through. Really? Nothing bothered him. He used to go, sometimes his leg, some spot on his leg hurt, but he said, all I do is rub it, you know, and that's about all that bothered him.
That's great.
He was amazing.
And was he drawing till the end of his life?
Not too much towards the end. But he was active. He was going out. He'd go to any event. You know, he was always asked to go to things just talk. And he had quite a nice collection, too. When he died, he had saved a lot of old drawings from the Disney studios and Walter Lantz. That was wonderful. Yeah.
It's Walter Lantz. I didn't realize he worked at Walter Lantz.
Yeah, in the early days, early. He did some of those big, giant Woody Woodpeckers. You know, when all the characters were big and weird in the beginning. That's when he worked there, right from the beginning.
And of course, he was the original designer of Betty Boop.
Right?
I think that's what a lot of people think of him.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I, as a kid, I went to New York with my dad, and out of all the people at the studio, somehow I gravitated towards Grim Natwick. I don't know why, but, you know, I was a kid. And I didn't know, as I tell many people, I didn't know about animation and the great people in animation. I was gravitated towards people because they were eccentric or entertaining or warm. I mean, Grim had a very warm side to him, it seems to me.
Oh, Grim was great. Oh, Grim was great. And he loved my art. Oh, God, did he love my art. Because he loved figure drawing and Egon Schiele. And my work, I do pastel and large drawings. And he always kind of saw that in me. And he'd come over and he'd see one of my drawings or a landscape I did. And he'd go, "If I drew like this, I would never do animation." You know, he thought I should just do my fine art. You know, have nothing to do with the animation.
Well, this is sort of jumping ahead a bit, but it's subject-wise, it's right on the money. Is this short you've done called as a jazz sketchbook that we're putting up pictures on our website? Tell us a little bit about how that came to be, and in fact, maybe this is a good time to talk about your personal animation.
Okay. Well, I've made about a dozen short films since the late 70s. I finished my first film, which played at the Annecy Film Festival, so I had a good start. But I work really hard on my films, like 3 years in between each film, and a lot of attention to it, a lot. And then the whole, I do other jobs, but maybe the last year, as I build up a film, I spend a huge amount of time on the film. And, you know, making an animated film is a tremendous amount of work, too, and I do them by myself. And I do the inking and painting, thanks to DePatty Freeling, my 3 months there. I have an abstracted style, kind of like, if you're familiar with, like, post-surrealism shapes like Henry Moore did and Picasso got into. That's kind of the forms of the figure, like a abstracted form of the figure, and I animate that. But then I also have my life drawing style, and eventually I started to do some life drawing style films. And then this recent film, A Jazz Sketchbook, is from drawing from life in the jazz clubs around L.A. over a couple years. I go to the clubs a lot. I know lots of musicians, and the owners, a lot of them know me, and so I could get a nice spot to sit with good lighting, and I would sketch everybody. And they use some in the newspaper. We have this L.A. jazz scene. I was on the cover or in the inside. You know, so some of the sketches got used. And then I had so many, and I decided to scan them to save them and do something with it. And I'm not that great on the computer, but I got a student who is my friend now, very advanced artist that had taken on the computer technology. And with her, she took my images and edited them to a soundtrack of jazz, which I selected. And so it's West Coast jazz musicians with an older West Coast jazz soundtrack. So it's sort of the jazz club scene in L.A. now and then. And it's wonderfully edited, and it's playing in some film festivals.
And the illustrations are beautiful.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's gotten a good right away. I got calls from some people at the festivals. They loved it. So I've been very pleased with it.
Well, let's take a moment here to do our one commercial today. Just tell everybody that the show today is being brought to you in part by the UPA Legacy Project, dedicated to collect, restore, and exhibit the films of UPA, the creators of Mr. Magoo, Gerald McBoing-Boing, and a new modern style of animation. You can find out more about their documentary feature, now in production, at www.upapix.com. That's all one word, upapix.com. So, back to Kathy. So we've skipped over an awful lot to get to that. You want to fill in?
I was just thinking about that. So after I started to Patty Freeling for a year, I found my way to Duane and Duck Soup Productions and stayed there almost 20 years. Though at the studio, it was always freelance for everybody there. They had a small kind of core crew. And I worked on and off. I wasn't there full-time. So I always had time to do my art. And then I was always figure drawing, and I had figure drawing groups. I've always been doing that, too. Since college, I used to have a figure drawing group. And now I teach figure drawing at Santa Monica College in an animation filmmaking program over there. So that's something else I always did, which now I'm being paid to do that. But at the time, with Duane, I was working with him, and then all the different talents that were showing up. And then those talents sometimes would have a project of their own, and then I'd go work for them outside of Duck Soup. But most of the time, it was through Duck Soup. But I went and worked for Lee Mishkin. I worked for Frank Terry. Down the line, I worked for Sam Cornell. Even Freddie Helmick would have his own thing on the side. Barry Nelson, Mark Kausler, because the business was small and it was kind of the same group of people, you know, here one day and over there one day, and they liked me as an assistant, so, you know, I could just pick up the work and, you know, continue.
Yeah, you know, you bring up an interesting subject because Barry Nelson I worked with briefly on a commercial and, you know, he was working out of his home.
Yes, yeah.
It seems to me more people are going that way, working out of their home. And so would you go to somebody's home oftentimes instead of
Yes, some of these freelance jobs. Yeah, I worked in Barry's house, in fact. I just would go out there, and it was great, Malibu. No problem. And then we go hike up the mountain on the break, and it was healthy and gorgeous. Yeah, people were freelancing at home, yes. Not that many studios. So in the studio, well, Lee Mishkin had a small studio. It was almost sort of studio slash home. Wasn't a big thing.
Out in back.
He had several studios over the years, but he was in a few locations.
Yeah.
So I would go work with him in the studio for a little while or pick it up. I live a long distance from if they were in Hollywood or Pasadena, so I'd have to really plan my day if I was going to stay all day.
Yeah.
And by that point, I was already skilled at what I was doing. So I was trusted that I could take the work and take it home and bring it back without too many mistakes.
So,
there were a lot of people working out of the house. That's true.
I don't know exactly. What's on my mind is, once you married Duane, in a way you had a business relationship before you had a marriage.
I loved working. I just did everything I could to help my husband and his business, but it's what I loved, minus that he was my husband. It was what I liked to do. He and I had so much fun because we both did exactly what we loved to do. I admired the hell out of Duane. You know, I thought his decisions were fantastic.
Yeah.
Yet he gave me great things to do. I loved what I, you know, he didn't like make me do lousy things at all. And I loved all the people. And then it got to a point, actually he was starting to get ill, but he was actually letting me handle some of his he was getting sick. So he was letting me step up a little bit for him and talk to people. But I loved it. I love people. I could sit and answer the phone and answer everybody's question. And then, of course, what I didn't know, I knew how to ask my husband, and I knew what not to answer and what he should. Towards the end, I would make sure I said the right thing. He was letting me delegate for him a little bit.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your teaching style, because that's an important part of your life now.
That's right.
I assume a lot of kids are, you're their mentor.
Yeah. It's been happening. I've been teaching 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just flown by. And it's been such a joy. And the business, working in animation, was getting repetitive for me. I was not as interested. I wasn't meaning to move out of working and into teaching. Teaching kind of just fell on me.
Right.
But I just thought it was beautiful right away. My first time I taught, it was just wow. And the business was getting repetitive, and the business was becoming more computer-oriented.
Yes.
And it wasn't